everybody. Welcome to episode 17 of ANA MMA. I'm your host, Slim, and I will be solo today to give you a 214 recap. Monty's going through a little personal shit right now, and this is the only day I have to do this. So, without further ado, here we go. We went to Legends. We were really faded. And before that, we were at Monty's and got also really faded. But it turned out to be a great night of fights. So, starting from the fight past prelims, Joshua Berkman versus Drew Dober. Dober came out with some heavy kicks and landed a huge right hand that put Berkman on his butt, square on his back. So Drew Dober walks away with the win on that one. Definitely one to watch out for at the 155-pound division. He seems to be a Muay Thai specialist. So we will see. This was his... Okay, he's had three wins now, two losses in the UFC. Maybe he can build himself a little winning streak. We will see. In the next fight, Eric Shelton versus Jared Brooks. Pretty much all Jared Brooks in this fight. On the ground, that's how he got the decision win. He got five takedowns. Yeah, that's pretty much how that one went. In the next fight, Caitlin Kern versus Alexandria Albu. Now, in this fight, it was so evenly matched, to be honest, but I definitely thought Kern would have walked away with the finish on this one, or with the win on this one. And the judges had it for Albu, probably because she got five takedowns of eight. And Kern only had one of those, but she did win. I believe it was either the third or second round. She ended up on top and looked really good. This mic is sounding weird. There we go. I'm going to be like typical Sean ass fiddling with the mic. So Albu walks away with the win. She was throwing everything she had in these punches, and Kern just looked like the more like solid fighter to me personally. Maybe that's just my thoughts. I don't know. Either way, that was the UFC Fight Pass prelims. And on to the main card, or the prelim card. Caitlin Kattar versus Andre Fili. Kattar was a champion in whatever organization he came from. He got this fight on a two-week notice against veteran Andre Fili and just looked great. He was super dominant. Made Fili look bad in almost every occasion. Fili did have score a good couple punches, but... yeah, made the team Alpha Male standout look pretty bad. So, had zero UFC jitters in his UFC debut. So, shout out to you, Kattar. Definitely one to look out for. In the next fight, Renato Moicano versus Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega was going into this fight the only fighter in history to be on a three-fight win streak and finish all three fights in the third round. And now he extends that to a four-fight win streak with four fights in the third round. That's insane. I've never seen that before. Ortega put on a show. He looked amazing in the first round. Moicano started to get a little beat in his step on the second, but it just was not enough. And Ortega let Moicano kind of take him down a little bit to yoke him up and get that choke. So Ortega, definitely one to look out for. He is... now on a four-fight win streak in, what is it, the lightweight or welterweight? 145-pound division. Nice. So, yeah, he looked awesome. I'm definitely going to be watching that guy pretty soon. Let me take a drink here. Hold on. All right, in the next fight, our boy, Aljamain Sterling versus Hendon Brow. Now, as I said last week, Hendon Brow, one of the most dominant champs of bantamweight while Dominic Cruz was away. And just looked awesome. Hasn't looked that good as of late. But Sterling looking really good. Former John Jones roommate, wrestling partner in college. Trying to get back on some winning ways of his own. Apparently, Burrell couldn't, in his last fight, since he didn't make weight, the athletic commission told him, no, you're not fighting at 135, but we'll let you do at 140 at a catch weight. So this was at a catchweight fight of about of 140. So a little bit of a disadvantage for Sterling, for Sterling, he usually fights at 135. He had to go up, whereas Brow has been fighting at 145. So either way, Sterling came out looking amazing. This boy put on a clinic. He looked so comfortable out there. His striking really showed. excellent range. He kept him at distance and pounded him out on the ground. Brow really had no answer. He tried to throw up some submissions, but really just had no answer for what Sterling was bringing to the table. So, excellent win by Aljamain Sterling. Super excited to see what he can do now and build a little winner repertoire of his own. In the next fight, Ricardo the Bully Lamas versus Jason Knight. This one I said was a mismatch last week because Lamas is the number three. What weight are they? I think it's bantamweight. Yeah, 140 or featherweight, 145 pounds, and Jason Knight was number 15. So this was his chance to possibly crack the top 10. But Lamas, you know, as he does, came out looking awesome. Did get the takedown and ground and pounded it out. So shout out to you, Ricardo Lamas, and that capped off the fight night prelims. On to the main card. Now, that honestly, that was one of the best lineup of prelim fights that I've seen. How many do we have? We had two decisions, two finishes, but they were such good fighters. They were really good contenders and really even matchups, and that's what we need to see. That's why I was touted the best card of the year so far. So, on to the main card. Jimmy Manuel versus Volkan Oezdemir. Now, in this fight, I thought Jimmy Manuel might have it, but because he's 10 years older. He was 37. Volkmir's 27. Or Volkmir. Volkan is 27. But Jimmy had a 4.5-inch reach advantage on Oezdemir. So I thought that would prove to be something in this fight. But Oezdemir kind of clinched him up against the cage. Manuel did. And Volkan landed a couple solid short uppercuts that just happened to hit the button of Manuel. He stumbled back, and Volkan just finished it with a mean right hand. Actually, I don't know if it was right or left. Either way, knocked him out, stiffened him, completely stifled Manuel. I think Volkan, he might be knocking on John Jones's door at this point. So, shout out to you, Oezdemir. Next fight, Lawler versus Don Cerrone. I honestly had Lawler won by decision, but I honestly had Cerrone winning this fight. I thought he was just a little more active and just had more crisp striking. I guess Cerrone won the first, Lawler won the second, Lawler won the third also. So there's talks in the works from Dana White's mouth that Lawler might be next in line for the title shot again, right back up in the title picture. I don't know. We'll see. Very well could be because, well, we'll get into that. Woodley didn't look the best. Anyway, so that was Lawler versus Cerrone. I thought this was one of the freaking best fights of the year so far, and on paper and in person, it was great. It was super exciting, and I love both those guys. Shout out to you, Cerrone. In the next fight, the biggest betting odd mismate on the card, Chris Cyborg versus Tania Evinger. Tania coming to the UFC from Invicta, the Invicta champ. Really had I wouldn't say no answer, but she had an amazing chin. She really showed a ton of heart in that round, or in the fight. It went three rounds till Cyborg got the TKO finally, but Tania was taking some huge shots, like making me cringe, honestly. I was just like, oh my God, no one's ever, as far as I've seen in my personal fights that I've seen of Chris Cyborg, no one's ever taken shots like that and not went to the canvas. So Tania Evinger, I hope she stays in the UFC. I hope she can, you know, build up a little name for herself, because she is a pretty decent name coming from Invicta. But as for the UFC fans, a lot of them don't know about her yet. So I do hope that she can keep doing what she's doing. Maybe drop down to 135. Maybe fight like a Durandamy, something like that. But now Cyborg's gotten some eyes on her for that belt. I've heard Holly Holm would like to take a stab at that. Who did Ariel Helwani have on his thing? I don't remember. But another girl that would like to take a stab at Cyborg, which is crazy because people calling out Cyborg is nuts. Because back in the day, no one would do that. Like, you were afraid to fight Cyborg. But now it's like people are like, yeah, I sense a payday, which is what it's all about. So Cyborg wins the 145-pound division belt for the women's division, which used to be owned by Dwayne Durandamy. So shout out to you, Cyborg. Keep doing what you're doing. keep knocking them girls out. In the co, and that was the first title fight of the evening. The three title fights. This was so epic. I was so happy to see this. So in the co-main event of the evening, you know, I was pretty excited to see this. Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maia. Tyron Woodley, dominant wrestler, great knockout power. Damian Maia, one of the best submission artists in the UFC to date. I didn't really know what would happen. I thought maybe Maia might take him down at least once, but I was very wrong. Actually, if you go back to last week's position or last week's episode, I kind of dissed Maia a little bit. I said Tyron Woodley would stop every single takedown and would punch a hole through his face. After the second round got through, I kind of gave up on that. I was like, you know what? Maia is a true contender. I really do think he at least put up a good fight, you know, just like he did with Anderson. But Woodley stopped all 21 of his takedowns, but set a record for the least punches ever thrown in a title fight. I don't know if that's by a champion in a title fight or just both of them combined in a title fight in general, but the least amount of punches thrown in a title fight ever in a 5-round fight. Woodley apparently tore his rotator cuff, which is something he's had surgery on in the past. And I don't remember if it was the first or the second round, but he could only throw straight punches, he said, which is kind of weird. It's like, why would you throw any punch with that hand? But whatever. So he said he ruined his moneymaker early on, so he couldn't throw that big knockout punch. So he was really limited to just jabs and straight punches. Even so, I thought he definitely looked super hesitant, just like he did with Wonderboy. I thought he had opportunities to finish Wonderboy, and he did not capitalize on them at all. Same with this. He could have finished Maia in the second round when he knocked him down, but he didn't. He's just super cautious about losing that belt. Like, he's got all the fame and the money. Like, no, dude, take risks. You are the champ. People are paying to see you fight. Go in there, knock his ass out. Either way, I did think he looked really good. But Dana White went on record and said, no, he is not. Actually, in the pre-fight conference, he said, yeah, the winner of this fight will get GSP. Well, then in the post-fight conference, he said, no, you will not be getting GSP. We'll instead be doing Bisping and GSP because I know Bisping will show up to fight. And whatever Tyron did, that wasn't a fight. So I was like, that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of harsh for your boss and your promoter to say about you. But hey, hopefully that lights a fucking fire under his ass and he, you know, gets his act together and realizes, like, oh, like, I'm the champ. He's a freak of nature. He's a crazy athlete. He knocked out Robbie Lawler in the first round. Like, that's insane. No one does that. And he just wasn't showing what he could do, I feel like. He was holding back too much. I understand Damian Maia is the best grappler in the UFC, especially being the number one contender. That's scary. You know, he's on a 7-fight win streak. That I understand. But Damian Maia doesn't have the best hands. Like, and you're Tyron Woodley. You can get back to the feet. You just gotta go for it. And he went on Ariel Helwani's show Monday to claim that no one is getting on Maia for, oh, why isn't Damian Maia standing in the pocket and trading punches? Because you're Tyron Woodley. Are you serious? You're fucking Tyron Woodley. You're a beast. You have crazy knockout power. No one wants to stand in the pocket with you. Are you kidding me? Of course they're not going to criticize Damian Maia that, but of course they're going to criticize you for not finishing fights and taking the easy route and just waiting out all the 5 rounds. Now, if you really were injured, which he said he might have to have a surgery and it'll be out for a little while, that's fair. I get it. Like, you're trying to just, you know, grind out the win, but it's just like, come on, man. Of course no one's going to say, why, oh, Maia, why weren't you, why were you trained in the pocket with Woodley? Because it's Damian Maia and you're Tyron Woodley. That's such a mismatch on the feet. Unfortunately, I think for Maia, that's where it stayed, was right on the feet. Stopping 21 takedowns. That's insane. Woodley didn't even attempt a takedown, as, you know, why would he? But that's, I don't know. So, sorry, Tyron. No GSP for you, bud. On to the main event of the evening. The biggest fight of the year thus far. John Bones Jones making his, what was it, like 2 years? Hold up. Let me see when his last title fight was. He fought Ovin St. Preux in 2016, but he last fought Cormier in 2015. That is crazy. I lost my thing here. There we go. Anyway, so Bones Jones, super best champ ever. I'm going to say it. He's the best, possibly the best athlete to ever walk into the octagon. He's a freak of nature. He's 6'4" with an 84-inch reach advantage. No one has that. Not even like heavyweights that are a lot taller than him have anything close to that. Just a crazy dude, crazy athlete, and went on the most dominant light heavyweight run of all time. Unfortunately, some personal things got in the way. You shouldn't hit and run people who are pregnant, and you shouldn't do cocaine when you just won some fights. So, because USADA will come for you. Either way, Jones came back, supposedly a changed man. I was like, all right, we'll see. We'll see if a little ring rust affected him or not. Daniel Cormier talking all that shit. He actually got booed when he came into the cage, which actually really surprised me. I did not didn't think he'd get booed. I mean, I like Cormier. I think he's a really he's excellent when he was on Fox and talking about the fights. But I don't know. I didn't. I thought the people the people might like Cormier. You know, he's been the best champ outside of Jones that the light heavyweight division has seen since like Chuck Liddell, maybe. Something like that, and then John Jones came along. So that really surprised me that he would be getting booed. But the fight starts out. Jones looks super tactical. In the first round, DC didn't look as solid. I mean, he was what can you do when you're down like over a foot of reach? But what he did do when he would get in close, he would land those nice uppercuts and those little short hooks. And that's what was really tagging Jones. He landed 58 strikes on Jones. That's pretty big for three rounds. So it was all John Jones in round one, but DC ended up finding his range at the end. And then round two, I kind of still had Jones, but I guess people are saying that, like Dana White too, especially said that DC had that second round. I thought John had that one. So then going into the third, DC was walking Jones down. I was super surprised at his intensity going into this fight. He was walking Jones down. He wouldn't let him back up. And I thought it was excellent. I thought that was a smart move to do. You know, don't get lost in the punches of Jones. That's what Shogun's done. I think Machida kind of did that a little bit, and so did Vitor. You know, you kind of get lost. You're watching this guy throw these crazy things. And Jones was going body, leg, head, head, body, leg, leg, body, body, head, and just mixing it up. DC didn't know where anything was coming from. Like I said, though, walked him down, didn't back up, didn't give up. Unfortunately, though, Jones threw a head kick, and DC kind of lunged into it a little bit, and crack. He smelled blood, and that was about the end of it. DC stumbles back, bounces up against the cage. Jones is like throwing crazy punches. He throws one and misses. DC kind of falls back against the cage again, and Jones hits him with a body kick and a leg kick to follow after to knock DC over, and then just kind of pounds him out with some nasty elbows, some nasty ground and pound. Apparently, DC got up. And I watched the video footage of this, like, just on him, not on Jones celebrating or anything. And he got up, and he was pissed because he thought ref stopped it too early. He thought he was just getting, you know, he thought Jones kicked his leg out and he fell and the ref stopped it. So he's all pissed. He's super mad. Big John, you know, he walks over to Big John, and Big John puts his hand on his wrist to raise, you know, Jones. That's what they do. And he says, well, he throws his hand away and walks off all pissed. So Jones is looking at him like, what? Come on, dude. You were knocked out. Like, what do you mean? Anyway, you know, Big John raises his hand, and Jones is celebrating, whatever, and he falls on the ground, collapses with excitement. You know, it's a huge moment for him. He got it back after all this time. So, DC goes and talks to Dana, and Dana's like, dude, you were knocked out. Look at the replay. So, really upset, Cormier. He didn't even know what happened, and you know, he's visibly upset, starts crying. Joe fucking Rogan, and he's usually pretty good about this. He's usually got his own personal rule of, not interviewing fighters that just got knocked out because, you know, they're frazzled. They just woke up. What do you, you know,
Come on now.
So goes over to DC after the fight. Goes, oh, Daniel, you were such a great champion. Walk us through what happened in the other fight. He goes, I don't know, man. Actually, let me pull it up. I wanna find this. We gonna do a little clip action here. In the meantime, while I do pull this up, I want to say that Jones, after the fact, called out Brock Lesnar, which is a bit of a talk through the press fight conferences over the last couple weeks leading up to the fight. But Dana was like, I really haven't talked to Jones. I really haven't talked to Lesnar either, so I don't know what's gonna happen. So it was really kind of crazy to see, like, Jones be like, yo, Brock Lesnar, get your ass in the octagon. And that was really cool to see. I think Jones and DC is going to be a crazy fight. And or Jones and DC. Jones and Lesnar. I think that would be an amazing fight. And I'm totally down to see it. So I really do hope that they do that. Oh, I don't have my aux cord in. Here we go. Oh, Jesus. That sounded horrible. I got to cut that out. There we go. All right.
Give us your thoughts right now.
The nigga's really proud.
A little bit. I thought the fight was going well. I don't even know what happened. Oh, man. That is so disappointing. I don't think it's a good idea to interview fighters after they've been knocked out, but I really wanted to give you a chance to express yourself. I know this was an incredible moment for you. It was very emotional. What can you say at all about this and the rivalry between you and John?
I don't know, man. I guess if you win both fights, there is no rivalry, so I don't know.
Thank you for everything, Daniel. Daniel Cormier, ladies and gentlemen.
So that was that. Fuck those guys for laughing. I thought it wasn't playing video. Anyway, DC, super upset. And what he said was, yeah, it's kind of true. You know, if you lose both fights, it's not really a rivalry. It's just you lost twice to the same guy. You know, like Rich Franklin, Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman. You know, if you lost twice to the guy, it's not really a rivalry. If you beat a guy, come back, beat him again, that's totally right. Or beat a guy and then come back and he beats you, rather, that's a rivalry. That's like Connor and fucking Nate Diaz. That's a rivalry. But I guess this was not. So yeah, Jones going on to talk about Lesnar. Unfortunately, though, it's probably not going to happen for a while because according to Dana White, Lesnar will have to undergo like 6 months of USADA testing, which is insane. So it's probably not going to happen in the near future, but it's one to look forward to. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what will happen with that. But overall, super good fight. Super good card. I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with it. Nothing I really want to talk about for real. Yeah. Except for, just Dana White calling out, Tyron Woodley, you know, that sucks. Sucks for him. Anyway, next week we have UFC Fight Night. Pettis versus Moreno. Not too good of a card. I really don't know anyone other than the main card. So that's all I'm going to go over. When Monty's back, we'll review the rest of it after the fights happen, after the fact. I actually won't even get to freaking watch this because I'll be at work. So it'll be Monty's play-by-play. So in the first fight on the main card, there's 6 fights on this main card. We got Alejandro Perez versus Andre Sukamthath. Where's Monty when I need him? Either way, I think it's Sukamthath. Sukamthath lost his first fight in the UFC. Let's see about Perez. He's got an 18-6 record. He's coming off a draw against Albert Moraes. Okay, so that'll be an interesting one to see. I don't know who I have in that fight, really. I'm going to go with Alejandro Perez. In the next fight, the boy that my boys from Victory MMA got to train with, Smiling Sam Alvey, is now fighting the former UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Rashad Evans. Rashad The boy himself has been on a 3-fight losing streak stemming back from 2015. He's not won since 2013. So he's trying to get back on his winning ways. I think Sam Alvey is going to stuff him in all aspects. Maybe not the wrestling. I don't know. I don't know. I think Sam's got a good chance. He's coming off a loss to Talos Latest by decision. But, I mean, he beat Marquardt. You know, he beat Eric Spicy. Daniel Kelly. I think Spicy will do, I think Alvey will do fine in this fight. And it's going to be huge for him. Huge to showcase what he can do at the 185-pound division. As for Rashad, I don't know what he does after this. You know, if he does lose, that's drops four in a row, stemming from, you know, a couple years ago. So, might be time for Rashad to hang up the Spurs, which, that's sad to say, man. I used to like Rashad, watching Rashad. He's 37 now, so I don't know. Maybe he can make something happen. And the next fight we got, Martin Bravo versus Humberto Bandente. I think I got that right. Andrew will probably correct me. I probably did it wrong. Let me look up Dende's record because it's not on the UFC page. So let's see what I can find. Oh, also, stemming off the UFC 214, John Jones apparently only takes home $500,000, and Daniel got $1 million. So I wonder if he would have got $2 million if he would have won the fight. That would have been nuts. Anyway, Marvin Bravo, he is undefeated in the UFC. And he's recently beat Claudio Puelles. Was that a Ultimate Fighter? I believe it was. So we got an Ultimate Fighter winner fighting... Ooh, he's 6 foot one, 145 pounds. Wow, that's a big boy. Okay, he is on a 5-fight win streak. Nice. Most of his wins coming by submission. Okay, we'll see how that goes for him. Anywho, in the next fight, Alan Joban versus Nico Price, the hybrid. Joban, I have seen him fight before. Let me see when it was. It's against Gunnar Nelson, and he did lose that fight. I don't know much about Nico Price, though. Let me see what's up with him. He's coming off a no contest against Alex Morano. Okay, Morano having draws, no contests, all that. What else we got? In the co-main event, Randy Marcos versus Alexa Grasso. This is going to be a pretty good fight, I think. Excuse me, Grasso just coming off a loss to Felice Poopy Butt Herrig, and Marcos, number 9, the Quiet Storm. Her hair kind of looks like Storm in this. Just beat Carla Esparza. So that would be one to watch. She's number 9, and Grasso's trying to break that top 15 list. And then the main fight, this is pretty big. Sergio Pettis versus Brandon Moreno. Pettis, obviously Showtime's younger brother, who has been making a pretty good name for himself in the 125-pound division. He's now on a 3-fight winning streak and number 6 in that division. Brandon Moreno, I thought he fought for a title. Maybe he didn't. No, he's also on a 3-fight winning streak. Submission against Luis Smolka and Dustin Ortiz. And one against Brian Benatou. 3 fights in the UFC, rather. This is going to be big. This is going to be really big. I think the next one of the, or whoever wins this fight, definitely gets the champ, who is fighting coming up at UFC 215. But, I don't know. I think Pettis might be able to get it done. Moreno's got a 71% submission rate. I don't know. I might have to go with Moreno in this fight. Moreno, if he gets to the ground. Sergio, if he keeps it standing. If he lands a Showtime kick, then that's all the merrier. All right, guys. That'll do it for me. I'm about to just chill out here and write raps until Sean gets here. Because it's Tuesday. We're going to do the main show tonight. So, we'll see y'all next week.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at LousyWeatherMedia.com.